most business owners don't understand how cash flow works. If I can get it for lower rates and I can use that money to arbitrage, we've been taught to invest and never save. Every business owner needs to understand how the banking system works. If I could capture the money that's going to Uncle Sam.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Breakout CEO Podcast. I'm your host, Jeff Holman. Super excited to be here with you again today. Just love talking to people, CEOs, advisors, and just people in the ecosystem about building and scaling businesses. So I'm excited today to bring you Brandon Neely. Brandon, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks, Jeff, for having me. I'm excited to talk to you.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. So Brandon's with us from Cincinnati. I guess it's rainy there today, he said, although, we could, why don't you send some rain our way? Utah needs a lot more moisture this time of year. So
yeah, I'm not like a fan of it because my son is doing, while I'm at my home office, is he is going to be doing some baseball, but apparently not today.
Another day. Well, Brandon, thanks for joining us. We talk to a lot of CEOs about scaling their businesses, about navigating pivotal moments, decision-making perspectives that they've gained and used. And we just share that with our audience so that CEOs can, have access to maybe some broader perspectives, or maybe even just understand that they're not alone in their businesses. Cause I know a lot of businesses feel like, man, I'm the only one struggling with this problem right now, or maybe ever, right? When that's absolutely not true. You're with a company, you're with Counterflow. This is your company, and you guys do some financial things with founders. Tell us just a little bit of background about Counterflow and your expertise.
Yeah. So I'm not just in the financial world where I became a financial planner, financial professional, because I wanted to make money. I got into it because I saw a need. And going into my way back machine, my first business was called Overflow, kind of fun that Counterflow and Overflow. Hmm. So Overflow was a coffee shop. We wanted to change the world, make a difference in the world. And so we thought ethical economics and community building was the way to go. And so we were very naive, entrepreneurs, got into it and realized, man, we didn't have a rich relative to get going. We had a lot of credit card debt. And I don't know, a bunch of luck and just kind of bootstrapped everything, right? And so we did a lot of what you shouldn't do. We did read Dave Ramsey and Susie Orman's books and said, okay, let's do that. However, if we listened to Dave, we would never have started a business in the first place, probably. And so we got into it, started down this venture. And we met this guy, Mark Willis, who is a friend of ours, and learned about this idea of infinite banking, which is kind of weird. But I implemented that strategy and used this strategy for an emergency fund because we were last to get paid. We didn't read profit first yet. And most business owners, either they pay themselves too much or they don't pay themselves at all. One of the two. So we wanted to figure out how to make sure that we were paying ourselves, taking care of us, because you can't overflow if you don't take care of you, right? That's a huge, huge thing, which we learned the hard way. And so crazy story, we were saving into these policies, life insurance of all things, and as a liquid emergency fund. Well, raining like today, we were in Chicago doing our thing, took a day off, and my staff calls me and says, you need to come in. The store is falling apart. And I was like, what do you mean the store is falling apart? And so
this is the coffee shop.
The coffee shop. Well, the roof was off and it rained, right? The roof was off for repairs. I didn't own the building. We were tenants. And here's a simple thing.
What do you mean the roof was off? Someone had physically the landlord or someone had come in and torn the roof off and left it open?
Yes, for repairs. They were working for repairs, doing some repair work. So there was no roof, just maybe a tarp or something. I don't know what was on upstairs. But
so when it started to rain, you guys literally embodied the name of your business, Overflow.
Yes, 100%. Oh, boy. And we're like, oh, crap. everything. We're crying. And then on that day, did not know this at the time, but we found out later that my wife was pregnant. And we're like, oh, great. Now she's pregnant. We have a store that we didn't have any revenue for coming in for a little bit.
Was there damage? I mean, was there extensive damage? This was like flooding, or was this?
Yes, yeah. It was like Hurricane Katrina, except in my coffee shop. And so the great thing was I had my access to my life insurance cash value that I could use immediately as a line of credit to overcome the flood, right? While the insurance claim was happening. And because of having that access to capital, I was able to sell the business and not close the business.
So you and your wife, you're talking about your team or whatever, but you and your wife were the coffee shop owners. Mm-hmm. You had at some point probably gotten into this like a lot of other people, right? Like we start a business, we see an opportunity, we get excited about it. We have enough money to get started, maybe not always enough money to, mm-hmm. you know, do all the marketing it takes or do all of the operations that take after we get started. You hire a team, you're going. How long had you been open by the time that this happened with the flooding?
The flood was 6 years in.
Oh, 6 years. So you've been operating quite a while. Had a team going. Your lease is, you know, you're established in your lease, but for some reason the landlord says we're going to operate on this building.
Yes, and eventually we did not have a long-term lease. We had a year-to-year lease after a while.
Okay.
And so we knew the writing on the wall, and we knew we were pregnant. And we had also had read Profit First and said, hey, we're not paying ourselves fairly. We're last to get paid, not first. And we need to make sure that the numbers line up to where, I'm not saying you pay yourself a ton, make sure you're a livable wage, right? And so,
well, that's what I wanted to get at, because you're running this business, but you mentioned something about, you know, setting up life insurance policies and you know, reading some Dave Ramsey, Susie Orman, some Profit First, and so you'd been learning this type of money management stuff along the way, I assume. Is that right?
Yeah, understanding how cash flow works. I've learned that most business owners don't understand how cash flow works because they're operating on a different manual.
And they probably learn it a lot of times the same way that it sounds like maybe you were learning it as you go. You're like, wait a second, stuff didn't add up this month, or where'd the money go, or why do we have, you know, why didn't we save it for taxes, or whatever those things are. You're learning this as you go. So you're reading the books and doing this. Well, what was the point at which you, like, how does this whole life insurance thing play into it? Because a lot of business owners probably, and I don't know, mm-hmm. I could be wrong, would say to themselves, hey, we got to put cash in the bank, or we got to pay ourselves. I don't know how many of them. In fact, I had a conversation with a friend of mine. He ran a small business, sold, mm-hmm. you know, graduation supplies and rings and photo packages and stuff, and has done very, very well for himself as a small local business owner. And I asked him, hey, you know, you're doing well. You're making enough money. You have disposable income. You know, mm-hmm. when do you start putting that into other vehicles? And I think I might have. I can't remember if I asked him directly when he puts it into life insurance. He's like, well, when you got everything else covered, then put it into insurance. But so I just don't know if every business owner thinks to themselves, hey, insurance is where it is maybe my go-to right now if funds are tight. How did you come into the, how did you come up with the format or the, you know, the strategy to say, let's put some away here? Because it sounds like that was what came out in the end to allow you to continue to operate your business.
Yeah.
Cause there's that gap, there's that window, right? When a tragedy like this happens, there's flooding, the space is not occupiable or needs to be fixed so that it can be, so that you can actually work in it. And insurance takes a while. Somebody's got to come up with a little bit of cash in the meantime to get those things done before insurance approves it and covers the cost. So you get that operating cash flow gap that you were able to span or bridge because you had this insurance.
Yeah, access to capital.
Was it just fortunate that you had done this, or what was the thought process about this?
So I would say every business owner, if you're a business owner or any, well, even banks, they protect their vice presidents, right? So they all have life insurance on them, okay. Right? So that's tier one capital that banks use, right? So what I thought about was if something happens to either one of us, we need to be sure that we're protected. Mm-hmm. Your greatest investment is in yourself and your biggest risk is yourself, right? And so for business owners, having a life insurance, just life insurance, not properly designed life insurance that has the cash value, but having protection in case something happens is really, really, really important.
Yeah,
I'm dealing with that with a friend right now that tragically lost his life 4 days ago, right? So at the very least, we have to cover that in case something happens. That's what insurance is for.
Yeah.
And you are the biggest investment in your business, if you're the founder even, right? Or the team. So you might have certain team members that are really valuable to you. And if they were gone, you might have a key man policy or something like that. Mm-hmm. So what I want to make sure is, have you ever bought a house and then used the equity in your house to buy something?
Yeah. Yep.
Right?
I've done
all
that.
The time. So here's the difference. What's the difference between a house and a life insurance policy?
I don't know. Sounds like a joke maybe, but what's the difference? What is the difference?
You are the house.
Okay.
You're the house. You will eventually go to heaven or, you know, graduate, right? At some point. So what if I could get a house, make sure it's set, and I can borrow and leverage that asset, home equity line of credit, at a lower interest rate than even equity in a house is right now? Could I control that and would that be better, right?
Okay.
And so what I've learned in all of this and in everything, the banks will give you, I don't know how many emails you get, but I get a lot of emails saying, I'll give you a line of credit for this rate or whatever all the time right now.
Okay.
So understanding how cash flow works and being able to say, okay, if I can get it for lower rates and I can use that money to arbitrage to make more money, isn't that a better way to go? Right. Yeah. And so that's the power of using these kind of principles. It's just saving and then using it to leverage arbitrage in right things.
No, I guess I want to hear more about the details of how that works, because I don't know of, maybe this is more common than I'm aware. I don't know of many business owners who have told me, you know, when I work with my clients and they're like, oh, hey, Jeff, we ran into cash crunch, so I tapped into the equity of my insurance policy or something like that.
Yep.
Is this a more common thing than I'm aware of? Do a lot of people do this?
So I think, and this is where Counterflow came around, is I believe the financial system is like an abusive relationship and we're told, don't worry about it, just put in Wall Street and it'll be fine. And we're just conditioned to think everything should go through the market. So we never think about small business. We never think about, we want a dividend from our stocks, but we don't do dividends for our own businesses, right? And so I think it's a resurgence in the infinite banking concept is happening a lot, because people are starting to say, hey, all the systems that we thought was going to work, the 401k system, are not.
Yeah.
And we need to think through strategically how cash flow works. Every business owner needs to understand how the banking system works, because we're all in it. We just don't even know it. And so understanding how that works and having access to capital on our terms, not waiting until we're 60 to finally say, ooh, I can finally retire because now the money's unlocked, right? And so there's a lot of complexity in the financial world. And I think it's built on purpose. You know, Donald Miller says, if you confuse, you lose. And I think that there's a reason that that taxes are so confusing.
So is this type of, as I'm thinking about it, I'm thinking this is probably more applicable to people who are in the earlier stages of their business. I don't know what the costs are to set up the policy or fund the policy or you know, what the borrowing limits or repayment terms are on the policies. But I would guess this is more similar to somebody who is, you know, some early stage in their business. They're tapping into the equity. Maybe they're tapping into some friends and family, you know, small funding to get going, or maybe they're tapping into something about their 401k. Is this on that same level as those types of things?
I think it depends on the client, right? And so I believe one of the biggest like buyers of, there was a whole big giant purchase of a lot of life insurance. Okay. It was around the time that it was Tesla and Twitter were bought, right?
Okay.
So it was a very, very big policy. We don't know who bought it, but I'm pretty sure he's been around the block a few times.
Pretty sure he owns Tesla and X. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, something along those lines.
You're saying that there's some public announcement or public reporting at one of these companies that a really large policy. How do we know that this was?
We just know that some policies were purchased, and I know politicians who use these kind of things, and so it just depends, right?
Okay.
The idea with the rich is buy, borrow, die. Buy an asset, borrow against the asset, leverage the asset to buy another asset.
What am I doing? A whole fine art scheme around that, mm-hmm. if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yes. So, okay. So again, don't do what the banks tell you to do. Do what the banks do. How are the banks making money and leveraging? They're using other people's assets to make it. We have to understand the banking function. And I would say everybody, if you have money just sitting in a bank account, making 2%, using the profit first system, you happen to just put it through maybe a life insurance policy, and I can leverage that and have it growing at the same time, right? And so that, and there's no death benefit on your savings, or you get taxed as you have it grow at not very much interest rate. So it's a matter of being creative and thinking creative with our finances. There's so many tools and so many ways, but a lot of times we didn't get into our business to be a financial professional. We got into our business to sell the widget, right?
Right.
Same with yours. They didn't get into do attorney stuff.
I started as a technician before I learned the business, for sure.
Yeah.
So tell me, let's walk through a scenario. Give me the profile of somebody that you've worked with who's benefited from this type of infinite banking arrangement. And then let's kind of walk through what it looks like for somebody to set it up. What are the ongoing costs or obligations? Yeah. And is there a time where you've seen somebody else, in addition to your own story, pull some of that out? And how much was it? How do they use it? I'm really curious how that's all worked for people.
So you can make one as small as like when I say when's the best time to start? It's right now, right? So start a kid, maybe they're doing saving a percentage of their income. Mm-hmm. I always say save, not invest, 20% of your income in things that you have access to. Okay. Saving, and then you can leverage that to buy more assets. So whether it's $400 or $100,000 a year or more into a policy. So I've have clients that have put in $200,000 per year into a policy, put it in, immediately take a loan to buy real estate, right? Okay. I've done that where I did a bridge loan, but I did one loan for me with the mortgage, half for the mortgage, and then half was my policy. And then I am both the landlord and the tenant.
So why do that as opposed to say just, you know, because I've bought a couple of buildings. Why put it into the life insurance policy first and borrow against it as opposed to putting it directly into the building itself?
Well, the amount of death benefit is going to be way outperforming that. Taxes, long range taxes, and then compounding, because the policy, if it's designed appropriately, it's a non-direct recognition company that it will continue to, even as you're borrowing from it, it will grow as if you never touched it.
So there might be some benefits to for my taxes today, my income taxes today, if I put it into life insurance. As it grows, as that building appreciates over time, as it's paid down, then there's maybe better, fewer tax liabilities when it's part of the policy than if it's just my own capital gains.
Well, right? And think about this. How much is your how much can you put into a Roth?
I don't know the answer to that.
$6,000 to $7,000, right, per year,
okay.
Right? The reason that Uncle Sam wants you to pay taxes now or later, so it's going to be more expensive. We don't know what the tax rates are. So if I can mitigate my taxes, make a policy where I can pay my taxes now, they call this a rich man's Roth, then I can leverage that, paid the taxes, and be able to create more wealth, right?
Okay.
So it's a rich man's Roth is another term for it, right? And so it's just a matter of understanding the cash flow mechanics. That's why I do a full analysis with my clients, because a lot of times they don't know, and there's little tricks or things that you can do to mitigate taxes, both long range and short range.
Okay. And so if I'm a CEO of a business, I'm at $1 million a year or $2 million a year, I'm trying to double that in the business. In addition to this aspect of, you know, maybe looking at owning my own real estate wherever my business is located, assuming that it's, you know, affordable within the range that I can buy, how else can this be used to help fund growth in the business, whether I'm, you know, can it be used to add teammates to the business? Can it be used for, I guess you used it in your coffee shop for cash flow or just operational purposes during a cash crunch? Are there limitations on how this can be used, or what are the requirements for that?
Yeah, you have to qualify, right? So it is life insurance, right? And so there's that. It's about cash flow. So I'm doing a full cash flow analysis. And if they're like, oh, I'm gonna put in $150,000, I'm like, well, you only make $150,000. That's not going to work, right?
Sure, you're saying on the funding side of it, right?
Yeah, funding.
But after it's been funded, you know, assuming that somebody is funding it, you know, a reasonable amount given their circumstances, mm-hmm. what are the ways that you've seen?
The fun question.
After it's already funded? Yeah,
That's the fun part, right? And so it's called arbitrage, right? Okay. And so, this is, for example, for me and a lot of other ones. Some of my clients love real estate and they love to fix things. Okay. As I told you before, I had a flood. Well, I've already had about three or four floods and I've only owned two personal real estate deals. Hmm. And I've had about four of them.
You've got good luck with these things.
Yes. So I'm like, I am not going to own any more real estate because a flood will happen to me. And so I've used the policy for what I call note investing okay. in other people doing real estate. And I'm a first lien position. So I'll use my cash value and I'll make 12 to 13%.
So you put money into the insurance policy, then you borrow against it, then you take that money that you borrowed out of the policy, you do hard money lending or something for home flips or whatever.
The bigger thing that I tell people is you got to know who you are and what you know, right? So you could, I've talked to some clients and they're like, well, I really am really good at stock trading. If they understand it and it's less of a risk, but it's still a risk. Running a business is a risk, right? But if they understand how their business works, I might use a policy loan for a team member to then have that runway to be able to turn that $50,000 into $150,000 because I have staff now.
Okay, so you can actually use it in the business. This is what I'm curious about, because as you're describing it, I'm thinking, okay, it sounds like maybe a self-directed IRA or something like that. But with retirement accounts, you have restrictions like prohibited transactions or prohibited.
No prohibitive transactions.
So there's no prohibitions about, because with the self-directed IRA, I couldn't take that out, loan my own business the money and pay myself out of that because I'm a prohibited party or I think
exactly.
I might misremembering the phrase, but there's this thing with, you know, your own immediate family, and I think maybe parents and children and, you know, lineal descendants and ascendants or something like that, that are all prohibited parties. Yep. So you can't do transactions with prohibited parties.
I mean, I was both the landlord and the tenant. You couldn't do that with self-directed IRAs, right?
Yeah.
But I could personally, and then I can control the interest rate. Or I could say on the policy, there is still a policy loan, and it's simple interest that's on the policy loan. So I'm borrowing from the insurance company. But let's say I get a cash crunch. I can decide not to pay my loan back or wait for a while because we went through COVID, right? Those kind of things. And I think that that's really what's important, and why I call it counterflow, is we need a different flow. We need to understand that the flow of money is going to the rich guys, uber rich. And oftentimes the banks, even, they're winning whether we have a recession or not, right? They're winning tons.
Yeah.
How do we take back that control?
Okay. I guess for me, I haven't used this, so I'm ignorant in this aspect, but maybe so are many other people who are starting and founding businesses and worried about how to operate their business more than the financial strategies around how to fund and run their business. So this is helpful for me personally, and probably for some of our audience members too. I guess where I'm kind of taking this is, this is like, you know, I ask myself, why do I buy a house? And some people mm-hmm. have said, I'm not buying a house. That's not part of my financial strategy, right? I just rent and I put the money mm-hmm. somewhere else. But when you buy a house, if your plan is to buy a house, let it appreciate while you borrow against it to start businesses that hopefully are successful, right? And of course, none of this works very well if the investments you make lose money.
Exactly.
That's a different outcome. But if you buy a house, let it appreciate while you use some of the equity to also do other transactions in the meantime, then you kind of have these layers of financial performance. And that's what this mm-hmm. sounds like to me. It's like, okay, you could take the money directly, put it into the building, but instead you're going to put it into this insurance vehicle, and then use the money while the insurance vehicle builds its own inherent value. Mm-hmm. You're going to use that and you know, perhaps fund your other businesses in the meantime, and then of course repay that. I'm sure it has to be repaid, or there are quite significant, you know, valuation effects that you got to deal with, but. Okay, so that's the best corollary for me. Is that a good corollary, or is there a better way to think about it?
Yeah, I think it's just your understanding how savings works. We've been taught to invest and never save, and to be smart with our money, right? Think strategically, because every one of us is in the money game, right? And so I've learned that a lot of business owners just look at that top line number, revenue. Yeah. And they don't realize, oh, but I'm spending 22% in credit card fees to make 32 or whatever. I don't know. The math usually doesn't work sometimes.
Oh yeah. I've seen e-commerce companies out there that are spending more to gain a client than they make off of the client, right? At least on the initial purchase. Sometimes there's that repeat purchase or the lifetime value where you make it up in the long run. And sometimes there's not, right? Sometimes it's just we're trying to gain users or eyeballs or consumers so that we can build our community, we'll call it, more than our profitability. And that's
why I do profit first and thinking strategically. And then with the profit first system, our biggest expense is probably credit card fees and taxes.
Yeah.
And so if I could capture the money that's going to Uncle Sam, create a asset out of it before it goes to him, wouldn't that be a cool idea?
I mean, again, borrow from yourself. If you've got the funds to borrow from yourself, well, that seems, what's the key? Because that does seem like the key here, right? Is is you got to have them. And maybe this is the catch-22 that we always think of when we think of trying to build wealth. It's easier to build wealth when you already have wealth, or so it seems. What are the keys to somebody looking at this, you know, not having any of this in place? They're in the middle of the building phase in their career or their business, and you say, hey, let's get you in a position where you can start to, you know, as you said earlier, start today to build up some of these strategies. What do you see as the one or two steps that somebody needs to do? In addition to just saying, start today, that, I mean, that's easier said than done. What are the one or two things that, what comes next after you say start today?
A couple things I think about is everyone has a plan for your money. My 8-year-old has a plan for my money. watching commercials, and most people are spending money that they don't have.
Yeah.
Right. Because, and the banks love it. Right. So understanding to live within our means, savings, and this is what I always tell people, savings is different than investing. Save into things. If you're a business owner, why, if you want to start a business, why are you putting all this money up to the match in a 401k or above the match? And you're like, but I want to quit my job in 5 years and I'm 35, right? To start a business. I'm like, well, now you just locked it in jail for a while. Hmm. So understanding that we need to be saving. And if I can save in things I can control and access first, and then do the market, but build your financial foundation first. And I don't say a dollar amount, I say a percentage, right? And you do that 10, 10, 10 savings personally, and then you do profit first, using those percentages in profit first. I just happen to have bigger policies. When I started, it was $5,000 a year, right? That's what we could do.
Yeah.
And now I have a policy that we put in $100,000 per year, way bigger zeros. And some people are even bigger than us. I mean, I they're like $5,000 is what I spend on dinner, right? But it just depends on perspective here, but save a portion of your income and then you redeploy it, right?
Yeah.
And so that those are the things I think are super important. And don't just say, I have a guy that's going to take care of it. I have a financial advisor who doesn't understand how business works, right? That's oftentimes we're asking for advice from people who don't actually know anything about cash flow or business or any of that stuff.
Yeah. Well, this has been fascinating. It's an interesting topic. The one that I think for the people in the situations where this is applicable, this will probably really resonate with them. And then for the rest of us where we're not sure if it resonates yet, it opens our eyes and maybe down the road we'll say, oh, now I get it. That's what Brandon was saying I should have done 5 years ago. I should have started that earlier.
Well, and I think that's where everyone, in my opinion, if they are wanting to think about their legacy or future, understanding how to create their own bank is that it only makes sense, right? This is why the banks are the most profitable business in the world. How about we take a note from them? And not a literal note. I mean, that is what they give us. I didn't even mean to say that, but
yeah.
So that's the interesting thing, and we're again on the banking world, and then I think really with Counterflow, there's flow types, different flow types that we've created. We've created financial archetypes, mm-hmm. but it's understanding who you are first. Build a system that will work for you to grow your business or your wealth.
Yeah. And as you're saying that, the other thing I'm thinking of is that this really, when you are a small business, when you're starting out, when you're a founder, when you're, you know, growing the early stage of your business, a lot of times we don't want to commingle funds, but financial strategies for your, you know, for you individually, for your family, for your growing, you know, fledgling business, all kind of commingled together. Even if the funds themselves are not commingled, the strategies certainly overlap. And so there's...
Oh, the stress.
Strategies. The stress, yes. I haven't figured out how to separate the stress out from, you know, from family versus work sometimes. But yeah, so while I think I guess what I'm saying that is, while sometimes it might be like, oh, insurance, that's really... that's really my personal or my family thing, not a work thing. What I'm hearing is there's really an aspect to it where you can turn it into your bank, not just your personal bank, but your you know, business bank. And how many of us wouldn't do a little bit better if we had at least something out there as a standing line of credit with easy access to, in case heaven forbid, or that our coffee shop floods one day, right? So
yeah. Well, and we've created Flow, like our money map of our business and personal, and so I can tell you where things are rolling. And it's on what are those called? Nant charts, or not a Nant chart?
A Gantt chart?
One of those other charts that is a mind like map.
Oh, a mind map. Okay.
Yeah. So we've done that. And then the other thing of why life insurance, again, the business partner, that his business, he didn't have a key man policy for his business partner.
Oh, this is talking about your friend that passed recently.
Yeah. So thinking about all of those areas of what if and how can we use that? And some people are like, well, that's an expense. I'm like, yes, that's, we have it for just in case. That's why we have life insurance. That's why I have health insurance. But is there ways that we can maximize and use it efficiently, not just buy a cancer policy that we're never going to use? I don't know.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people buying crap that doesn't help, but cash flow is really important.
For sure. Well, Brandon, this has been really interesting for me and hopefully for our audience too. If somebody wanted to dig into this more, hear more about how these policies work, or, you know, examples of what you've seen happen, either personally or in their businesses, what would be the best way for them to get a hold of you?
Yeah, if you go to livecounterflow.com, if you go there, there's a Find Your Flow quiz that's there. And then counterflowcornerstones.com is our life insurance and annuity division. But Live Counterflow helps you find your flow type. And then you can find my wife. She writes on Substack all the time. If you like to read, she's really good at that. So if you find Live Counterflow at Substack, so Live Counterflow, Live Counterflow Cornerstones.
Love it.
Look up Counterflow. You should find me.
Awesome. Well, Brandon, thank you so much for taking some time to share this with me and with our audience.
Thanks, Jeff. I appreciate it. It was fun to talk here.
Yeah, it's been good. And for those of you in the audience who listened today to this episode, thanks for joining us again on the Breakout CEO Podcast. Be sure to follow or subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. And if you enjoy the show, a rating or a review goes a long way. Our mission is to promote the stories of breakout CEOs in scaling SaaS, e-commerce, and tech companies, to equip peer CEOs with valuable perspectives and confidence. Thanks again for joining us on this episode of the Breakout CEO. I'm Jeff Holman, and I'll see you next time.